It is August 4th, 2020. I am recording from my part-time job. It's been quiet lately. I decided I wanted to talk to some people about some stuff. Today, we have Aaron on the phone. Aaron is one of my good old friends, a gamer who keeps up on the industry like I do, although he plays mostly Nintendo and Sony stuff. We're just gonna talk about all the cool shit that's been coming up in the last week. Particularly his experiences with visiting for the first time the Avatar movie, and from my angle, how I've been revisiting it conceptually and artistically because of its relationship to Aliens, Halo, Destiny. And Halo's been in the news lately thanks to the announcement of Infinite, rather the release of the Infinite 8-minute gameplay, Halo Infinite, that is. So we talk a little bit about that, a few more things, and I hope you guys enjoy. It was really fun making this podcast, so I think we'll do it again. Who knows what we'll talk about, but me and him, we can go for hours, so I'm sure there's more to talk about soon. If you enjoy this podcast, let us know what you like to hear about. If you want to hear more about something or from either one of us, I'd love it if you did. And thanks for tuning in. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm at work. Nobody is here. Ivan's in front of me, the computer to my left and to my right. The mall is kind of quiet, nothing crazy. I've already dealt with one person and had another crazy person call me asshole, so I'm going to say we're off to a great start. I just wanted to thank you all for tuning in. I'm having a great day. It's only getting better now that we started the Metacast. Ivan's got a big list in front of him. He's loving it, reading a lot of little details. I'm sure he's learning a lot, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot today. I think I'm going to learn a lot about you and myself. I think that's what's going to happen today. I'm going to try and get my good friend Aaron on the Metacast today. Let's see if he answers the phone. We'll try out in a second. In the meantime, let's talk more about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Halo, probably. We're going to talk about Mega Man. Maybe going to talk about Trump, China, and TikTok. Probably going to talk about that. I'm sure I'll think of something else. Something's going to piss me off. Let's stop right there, okay? I'll come back to you in a moment. My boy.
Uh-oh. A podcast right now? Remote?
My boy, are you on a podcast right now?
How does this shit work? Anchor,
we're recording right now, sir. You are live on the Matcast, on the Metacast. All right, welcome.
Beautiful,
ladies and
happy
gentlemen.
Happy to be here.
Say hello to Aaron Thadathil, the hottest UI designer in all of Toronto, much in demand, much music in demand.
And by hottest, he means how good I look, my impeccable jawline.
I'm referring to his impeccable jawline, gentlemen, ladies. Dogs, cats, and squirrels. So how are you doing today, man?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Good long weekend. Coming off some beautiful vibes, even though it was raining. I do like the rain, though.
Gotta love when you're looking out the window, coming down, streaming.
I was in my parents' pool while it was raining. Like, it was downpouring. I was in the pool. I felt like I was in the jungle.
Like you were in the river. Piranhas could pop up any second, but no.
I was in their little pool while it was raining. And the beauty is, it didn't overflow because there's a filtration system. So the water never overflows over the top.
This dude is just reclining
in the rainforest. It was beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's a touching story. I'm sure your parents love how often you're coming home now.
I've been coming there so much now, especially since the quarantine.
You've been there like every weekend.
Yeah, almost every other week. I feel like they have noticed as well because they mentioned it when I went there over the weekend. They were like, we love that you're coming to see us so much. You know what? It's nice. I feel like the older I get, the more attached I feel to my parents. I'm like, you know what? They did all right. They gave me life. You know? I can go. The least I could do is show up to their house, eat their food, swim in their pool.
The least you could do.
The least I could do. Use all of their amenities. We watched Avatar too, eh? I had never watched Avatar before.
The James Cameron?
Yeah. Exactly.
James Cameron. How do you feel about that?
2009. Dude, the most amazing thing is how well it's held up. It's over 10 years old, and it looks incredible. The CG looks like Avengers Endgame. Better than Avengers.
Were you stoned out of your mind, though?
What's that?
Were you stoned out of your mind, though?
I was not. I had no... Oh! I had nothing... I had no no intoxicant. Well, I had some wine. I had a little bit of wine.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when you go over there, you go straight sober?
Pretty much. It's like my rest now.
Yeah, your rest weekend. That's funny. All right. That movie... That movie's interesting for a lot of good reasons, but I remember seeing like a screenshot, no, maybe like a clip or a trailer of it, like not too long ago, maybe a few years ago, and thinking it kind of did look dated, but maybe that's because I saw it when it was cutting edge, and now, you know, you have so much points of reference now.
I think the characters themselves look a little dated in the fidelity, but the environments and everything like that is just incredible. Creatures, things like that.
One sec. Yeah, sorry, give me one sec. Deposits? Yeah. Whoa, what did I do here? This is funny. This is, I'm recording this right now and I'm doing work. The one time work showed up.
That's what I'm saying. We can just record this in the afternoon when we have a long stretch of time to
They came for deposits.
Talk. Also, I don't know what we're talking about. We're just kind of randomly talking.
Which is good. I actually have something that I wanted to ask you, but I'll get to that in a sec. Right after you listen to me work for 5 minutes. You actually, we're recording. You can just keep blabbing.
Oh, yeah, true. Fucking Avatar, man. It was insane. But you know what? It is just a fucking simple story. It's Pocahontas. It's not mind-breaking. It is, It's not mind-blowing. The wild thing is that James Cameron wrote this movie in the 90s. Apparently, he wrote the screenplay after he finished filming Titanic. So, like, 1999, the guy wrote Avatar. And he realized the tech didn't exist yet to complete his vision. So, he waited it out till 2009.
So he shelved it. All right.
But apparently there's a bunch of sequels planned. I don't know how the fuck that's coming. It's been decades since at least a decade since the first movie. So Disney picked it up. It's part of their Disney World now, Avatar, the Avatar land. So, I mean, they're trying to make it a franchise. I don't know how popular it could live now, especially considering we're in a post-Marvel world.
Yeah. Sorry, one sec. You're doing a great job.
I have no idea what to say at this point. I don't know what we're supposed to talk about. I got Avatar on my brain. I don't know. It was cool. Did I look up Avatar hentai after? Maybe. Maybe not. Now, I guess the storyline is a little problematic considering today's climate, today's political climate, because the movie is really reinforcing the white savior narrative where it's, you know, it's the white marine that jumps in the native's skin to befriend them. It's a little problematic in that sense. I don't know how that works.
It came up in 2009. Actually, that's the first. That was like one of the big talking points after that movie came out, which was like, really, we're going to talk about the white savior. So that was pretty trendy back then, especially because everyone started going back to Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves and going like, this is the same plot. Not only is it the same plot, but it's the same white savior plot. It's like, yeah, wow. A marine that came to destroy my land is going to rescue my one pitiful little family. Thank you so much.
They couldn't do it on their own. They needed the white marine, who is a paraplegic, to help them. But it's okay because he's got an avatar. Walk. It's okay. He's got an avatar. He doesn't need his legs.
But right. He did it in VR. He did it in VR. The whole thing in real VR. That movie was interesting. It was pretty prescient. You know what was really cool about it? The one thing that people probably don't think too much about because, like, for me, like, I discounted it pretty quickly because I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty and stuff like that. But ultimately, it was a pretty typical run-of-the-mill plot. But what did stand out about it, and I don't know if you like this stuff or not, but the actual art design and mechanical and technical design was kind of fucking awesome. And it's got a lot of contemporaries in cinema, too.
Oh, yeah. The art direction was dope. I loved all the creature designs and all the architectural designs.
The Torok. Torok. The
Tree of Life or whatever that they had.
Yeah. Yeah, they had mechs
floating around, seeds of the tree.
Holy shit. And apparently, there's going to be like 5 of those movies.
That's the weirdest thing, that they greenlit Avatar 2 and 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? How do you greenlight movies to 2026? And I mean, I don't know how the fucking COVID pandemic has affected any of their scheduling, but like, I don't know. Is it worth releasing another entry in this franchise 10 years later? Is it going to be... not worthy at all.
If you ask me, for what it's worth, like, I'm not crazy about it as a franchise, but if you were to ask me as a producer or whatever, I'd say 10 years is the right amount of time, because that way it gets to find its place in pop culture history.
There's almost nostalgia for it now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have a generational difference, which means people who loved it can bring their kids, or people who loved it, who forgot about it, or never forgot about it, can, you know, have that excitement again. And, like, it, even if people, like, the day after, the week after, thought, you know, maybe it wasn't that good, 10 years later, they're willing to revisit it. You know what I mean? You gave them time to negotiate.
Exactly. Now, the reason I didn't watch Avatar when it came out in 2009 is because I was a teenager at that time. And I was in the Jehovah's Witness cult with my parents, and we were at a convention.
Worshiping.
Yeah, we were at a convention of Jehovah's Witnesses, and on the platform, the speaker said, there's a new movie coming out that's very popular called Avatar, but it's a tool of Satan. It's a tool of the devil to take you away from Jehovah God, because Avatar is a Hindu concept where Vishnu, the god, you know, the creator god, would use like a body, or like present himself in the flesh. And that is the concept in Hinduism of Avatar. So the idea that, you know, he's using this other body or whatever, because it's coming from this Hindu fucking thing, the guy on the platform said, this is from the devil. This is from Satan. You can't do this as a Jehovah's Witness. You can't watch this. So we never watched it. Now, obviously, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness anymore. Fucking left that shit.
Yeah.
And my parents are now waking up to the fact that Jehovah's Witnesses is also bullshit. So that's why my dad was like, yeah, remember Avatar that we weren't allowed to watch? Do you want to watch
that?
That's why we watched it.
Avatar?
That's also why I've been going back there so often, like over the weekends lately, just because I'm supporting them in kind of
on
leaving.
Their way out.
Yeah, because once they fully make it known to everybody that they've left, they'll lose all their friends and all their, you know, their social circle. Mm-hmm. So they'll only have me really after that. So
that's interesting. Avatar then, like, in a lot of ways represents for you and your family, like a super complex part of your own identity, where it's like this Hindu concept, which is being used to describe this live action, you know, movie,
sci-fi movie,
which was already devil. Yeah. Sci-fi movie, which is already the devil to begin with. They're like compounding culture on culture on culture and telling you how twisted it is. When it's your blood and whatever, right?
I know,
blood,
right?
And soil where you came from.
It's like you're hating your own ancestors. Like, you know what I mean? It's like these concepts were invented by brown people, whatever, the Vishnu and Avatar, etc. And you know, here we are with that indoctrinated mentality of the Christianity or whatever. It's insane to think about, because whatever they did tell us to do, we just did. We just followed. They said, don't watch this movie. We didn't watch it. You know, they don't really question it.
Well, you know what? Bungie tells you to buy a new expansion every 3 months.
It's true.
Destiny, I feel like Destiny probably took a lot of pages out of Avatar's book as far as
you know what? Concerned. It's funny that you say that, because as we were watching it, I didn't realize what kind of movie it was. I knew it was sci-fi, but I had no idea like what I was in for. And as he was jumping around the jungle and shooting shit, I was like, this is just like Destiny. This is Destiny.
Hey.
I said that out loud to my parents, and they were like, what's Destiny? I'm, don't worry about it, guys.
It's a Hindu concept.
I will bring that to you when you're ready. I'll introduce the video games to them when they're ready.
So the reason I actually brought this up earlier is James Cameron, who directed Aliens, he kind of put a nice little footnote for himself in military and technical design, because Alien was a very... that franchise had a lot of very interesting mechanical design, being so far in the future, but also very far in our past now, right?
Yeah.
70s and 80s, people trying to invent what the future would look like in 2200, 2500, et cetera. Avatar actually kept that design language. So a lot of the technology you see in Avatar is very similar, reminiscent to the stuff you see way back in Alien and Aliens. And in between there, there's a lot of other stuff, but one specifically stands out, and that is Halo. Bungie, their technical and mechanical design was 100% inspired by Alien as well. Their vehicles, their ships, their guns, their Marines are torn right out of Alien.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course,
Metroid.
Metroid's totally different. Metroid's got this cool Geiger thing going on with the alien that it's actually funny you say that, because Metroid takes from the alien side of Alien, whereas Halo took from the human side of Alien.
Totally.
Metroid was because I don't know, just leave it to the Japanese to go with the morbid stuff. But Bungie, of course, created Halo and then created Destiny. And the reason I bring all of this up is because the question I wanted to ask was, I was on Reddit, on the Halo Reddit, and people are always getting controversial in the Halo Reddit, especially now that Infinite's shown some gameplay. As far as game design goes, as far as marketing's concerned, people like to think of the Halo Magnum as like one of the most distinctive guns in video game history.
Yeah.
It's not in the new Halo, at least not at launch. Do you think that's a mistake?
Well, you know what? They did say that Halo Infinite is going to be free to play. So I can see them. The multiplayer. So I can see them holding these kind of iconic pieces for later updates or that kind of, you know, that sort of a model. So how I feel about it personally, I fucking hate it. I mean, I wish everything was there from the start.
Yeah.
But what it seems to me that they're going to do is continue to support this, you know, for years and years. And that's where we'll see stuff like the Magnum, et cetera, where we'll be able to, I wouldn't be surprised if they put in old maps and stuff just for nostalgia's sake. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I fully expect that. And I agree. Actually, that's the number one sentiment as far as detractors are concerned, which is that I wanted the whole game on launch. If I'm going to pay $80 for anything or $70 for anything, I want it all there. Unfortunately, that's become a thing of the past, right? Like, there isn't a game at these budgets that comes out today that comes out complete. They're always designed with some sort of year or two of runway for them to actually finish, hopefully, right?
Yeah. I think this type of games as a service thing has taken over. I mean, it's funny because we were talking about movies, and I think for a long time, video games were very much like movies, or even books, right? Where it's a set piece of media that exists, you create it, and once it's published, that's what it is. And as the internet started to kind of become the main place that games were being played, I think they realized, hey, we don't have to just publish and then that's the end of it. We can continue to update this. And so just that thought alone, I think, has informed what we're seeing today. And I feel like, I don't know, I like the idea in the sense that it always keeps shit fresh. Because I am somebody that does jump into Animal Crossing whenever that they do a new update. I am somebody that jumps into Destiny when they made it free to play. So I feel like a hypocrite to say that I hate that, but then also I'm the one jumping in when it's free. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like, it makes sense that you, like, because that's the irony of it is that I'm not even, especially when it comes to Halo, I'm not even that upset, because what this is opportunities to get more Halo, right? When you say that you're going to make a 2-year-long Halo with no future Halo in the roadmap, that this is the last Halo we're going to make for a long time, that tells me that means you guys intend to put a lot of shit into here over a long amount of time. And that means I get more Halo experiences every year. Like, I've never been the one to hold out for Halo to change my life with a story, because let's be honest, video game stories don't often change your life. And some people might love the Halo story, but that's just...
You said that and all the Naughty Dog developers started crying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Naughty Dog, but like, you got, that's the irony. It's like, it's not worth it, right? Like, if I wanted to see a movie that, hear a story that taught me more about humanity and et cetera, like, I would watch a really good movie where that violence will happen off screen and I'll still feel it. Unfortunately, Last of Us is the kind of game where they want to make you cut every throat yourself. And it's like, I feel like they've dulled their own points more than enough times. And after, you know, 6 games since Uncharted 1, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, if it's an amazing story you're after, like, there's a lot of places to look. Halo for me was always about the gameplay and the mechanics. So to hear that it's Infinite, you know, great title, by the way. I'm not upset, but a lot of people are, because they're like, I wanted my story. I wanted my Magnum in the campaign. And I was thinking about that, like, despite what I feel like Halo should be that an Infinite, long-lasting, forever game. I actually think the Magnum should have been there from day one. And that's just because, like, you have your trademarks in your franchises, right? In your universes and your franchises, you have these little things that kind of stand out that make you you. And it is true that although I don't think 343 is a bad developer, and I think they've gotten better and better every time they've made a game, it is true that they're kind of missing a little bit of, like, I don't know how to put it. They they kind of miss the mark every time they remove signatures of their own franchise like this. Who knows why they do it? Because they want to expand the sandbox, a lot of people say, and other people say, you know, they want to make their own mark and be known as a good developer, not just somebody running in Bungie's footsteps. I'm not sure which one it is, but I think it is definitely a mistake to leave out something as distinctive and iconic as that. Like, people will like carry that into their cosplay shows. Like, it's the same way that people have, you know, distinctive characters on their shirts or cosplay as certain kinds of people.
Yeah,
that Magnum has that same iconic legendary status.
Now that the Magnum is gone, what's the new pistol that they got there? I mean,
so they haven't, that's the thing. So a lot of people are worried about, like, you know, what's the angle here? And essentially a lot of the guns look more basically modern combat. They look more futuristic, you know, designed in the last 10, 15
years. This is post-Destiny, post-modern warfare. That's what they're kind of,
yeah, exactly. So like, even Destiny, they like we already talked about, they keep it pretty fantastical. So like, it wouldn't even be a good example, but yeah, post-Call of Duty for sure, where it's like, this, we might be going back to basics on mechanics, trying to make it more like Halo 3, but visually they want to keep it, you know, pretty up to date. And so the pistol works more like, it's like a faster paced, you know, snap pistol where you're trying to get a headshot last second kind of pistol. Whereas the original Magnum was kind of leading the gunfight. You get them from a really far range and you can piss them off, right?
Yeah.
The new pistol is a close range little pea shooter, which it, personally, when Halo 2 came out and it had that, they changed their Magnum into that, which is what this Magnum looks like, by the way. It's like a nice little black sleek thing instead of, you know, this big shiny silver Magnum.
Yeah.
Now that they're going with this, like, it fits, I think it suits the world, the sandbox rather, better than people give it credit for, because the Magnum is actually overpowered. Back in the original Halo, you almost had no reason to get off the Magnum. You could kill somebody in four headshots.
So I wonder if that's like why they did it. Like, they just removed it for that reason itself, balancing or whatever.
That's what,
maybe they took a fucking spreadsheet of all the weapons, all the gear, and they were like, mm-hmm. let's just throw this out and rebalance everything and create new weapons.
So 100% certainty back, right? That they have it. Yeah, no, not nothing. And you know what they said on launch. So chances are everything is coming back at some point, but. First point, 100%, they always have a chart like this, where it's like, I even made this chart. When Halo 5 came out, I'm this autistic about the games I love. When Halo 5 came out, I wrote down, I drew every gun, and I drew all of their effective ranges.
This man's so that a I Halo just fan. Knew.
Well, it's more about the mechanics, more about the gameplay, but yeah, like there's no sandbox tighter and more fun for me in multiplayer than Halo was. And so, when Halo 2 came about, Bungie themselves, they looked at the Magnum and they said, this motherfucker is overpowered. There's no reason to pick up any gun, especially when they saw the competitive scene, how they were playing, because the competitive scene happened naturally, right? They put LAN in there, but they didn't expect tournaments to happen of 500 men showing up in an arena to do this shit. When they did, they noticed that 99% of every engagement ended or started with the Magnum. And the only thing that changed that was either the shotgun up close or the rocket from far away or the sniper from even farther away, right? Yeah. The assault rifle, no purpose. Half the Covenant guns, virtually no purpose. So what did Halo 2 do to change this? One, they crippled the Magnum and turned it into a pea shooter because it still killed on headshots. So if there was no shield, it would still do a one-shot kill on the head, which means that your new objective is no longer to just get three headshots with the most powerful weapon in the game. Your new headshot, your new goal is to get the shield down so you can get one headshot. So the battle rifle.
I really hope that once Halo Infinite jumps in, you contribute to the wiki, FYI. Because I mean,
well,
like,
I will. I don't know. Now that I have the metacast, maybe people will listen.
It's like, hey, you got a platform? This man's got
this guy talks.
This
about
is the stuff. Halo God. The funny thing is, now we were talking about Avatar and how I wasn't allowed to watch it. Halo is the same shit. I wasn't able to play Halo, but also I just didn't have an Xbox. I was not an Xbox kid at all.
Yeah, but you were never going to get one either, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Even if I wasn't in a cult and I was allowed to play whatever the fuck I wanted as a kid, I wouldn't have gotten an Xbox anyways.
Yeah, yeah. The GameCube, like, whatever. It's Nintendo. It's kid-friendly. If your parents are thinking about it, they're like, well, we'll get them the GameCube.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the Xbox, did you buy the GameCube yourself, or was it a gift from your parents?
My parents bought it for me. I was a small child.
Yeah. That was the Indian in them going like, no, this kid's got to have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a GameCube. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like now with, because it's going to be free to play, and I guess with Game Pass, you could play it on a PC, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's not impossible for me to jump on that, you know, if I figure a way out. However, I got Destiny to play, so I don't know.
Exactly. That's another fun little, what's it called? Industry thing. So not only is Halo Infinite going to be playable on everything with an Xbox One in the name, so all the way from the one that came out 5 years ago or whatever, up until the new one, but it will be playable on PC. X Cloud means you can play it on any Android
or iOS device. Yeah, your tablets or whatever.
And Destiny, all their expansions are included free on the Game Pass as well. So they're going to be like literally head-to-head.
Damn, that's like, they're like direct competition at that point.
Yeah, and Microsoft is must be paying for that right? Like telling Bungie to release their game on their Game Pass and all the expansions will pay you to give that to our players. So Microsoft is kind of putting their money in two little scales right now, in two little piggy banks or something like that. Seeing, like, first of all, Destiny is obviously plenty of consistent players for them. That's the thing. That's what people don't realize about Infinite, or maybe they're only just realizing now that it's not supposed to be gangbusters. It's not supposed to be Call of Duty's 10 million sales on day one kind of shit. It's not Sony's blockbuster, you know, 8 million sales in the first year kind of Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima thing. It's, we're going to have an ecosystem that you can join into so long as you're paying for Games Pass all of the time. The game, the multiplayer will be free and the single player will be thrown in with Game Pass and it's always getting updates. So it's like you pay that $16.
They're going to lean in real hard on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Well, you notice too, every single game they showed from the presentation, the Xbox presentation, was available on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like every single one.
I don't even know which game isn't. Like at this point, like if you're telling me it's not on there, I'm almost like not interested. Like if with an Xbox, it's more interesting as a console to have that subscription and not worry about full price releases. Because if I'm a good example, $80 is too much for a fucking game. I will not pay it. I refuse to.
Yeah, I think Microsoft is now trying to proposition themselves less as a runner in the console war and more so a runner in the streaming war.
In the service war.
The service war, exactly. I mean, who else is in that? Fucking Stadia? Nobody cares about Stadia. Exactly. So they kind of have domination
Sony
over
Sony can't compete.
Yeah, PSN. Yeah,
PlayStation Now.
PlayStation Now, I don't know anyone that has it. I mean, I'm sure anecdotally you could find people that use it and love it, but I think
I guarantee you their library is way thinner. And who knows if the streaming is as effective. Thankfully, Game Pass lets you download the game directly to the system. So, like, if you wanted Game Pass, if you wanted to play something, you'd be playing it natively on your console, not streaming it.
That's the advantage because you can't rely on people's shitty Wi-Fi internets like me. I don't have anything plugged in, you know. I'm not a hardcore gamer.
Are you sure about that?
Filthy casual.
You should get a little more hardcore.
I'm a filthy casual that spends hundreds and hundreds of hours in games, but not enough to plug in an Ethernet cable.
That's a hardcore casual. I've become a casual hardcore. I play like once a week now.
Oh my God, dude. I play so often, but that's only because there's nothing else to do. We're in quarantine.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You can find things to do, but I hear you 100%. I mean to go back to Destiny and play with you guys some more, but it's always like, you know, it's 9 o'clock. I could do anything else, and it's like maybe I'll get around to it. And then it's 11, and it's like, all right, fuck.
I've been doing a lot of the legacy content in Destiny too, just because that shit's leaving with the next update in the fall. So I've been doing the Red War, the OG storyline stuff, just so that I don't miss it. It really, the more I play it, the more I'm like, I can't believe they're just gonna fucking take this out. It's just going to be gone.
It's crazy. And that's the original.
That's the base game. Too, that's right? The game on disc. So I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah, I'm pretty shook up with Bungie's. Like, at this point, it's hard to complain. They're never going to stop doing it. And like, I shouldn't be trying to talk people out of playing it who enjoy it. So so I feel bad even talking about it at this point. But 100%, their tactics are a little bit scummy and very like curious that you would remove all that content. And if you got it working in the first place on the disc, why would a new raid have any conflicts with the old stuff? Like the file size argument, I'll believe. And I imagine if Bungie's making, trying to be, you know, whatever, democratic about this, to looking at it going like, well, most of our players on PS4, we shouldn't expect the majority of our player base to go to PS5 or Xbox Series X very soon. So we should manage that file size for them. But I'll also argue that 99% of your players only use your PlayStation their PlayStation for your game. So fuck it. Take up all the hard drive space you want. Stop worrying about this file size nonsense. Give me every raid, especially if I'm paying for it, because you pay for every raid. None of those are free.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whether it's in the base game or the DLC content, both of them, like, nothing is safe from being culled or cut.
Yeah, culled or cut away, and you will pay for that stuff. Like, if we buy those two expansions that are on sale right now, we have,
which I really want to, and I don't want to because of that reason.
Yeah, you can play all of it up until November. If you don't finish both raids and get all the content, including weapons and items from those games, from those expansions by November, most of them will be gone.
So now,
or at least a large portion.
Going back to that point that we said, where, you know, video games used to be like movies and books, where it was kind of a finite product that was published and then that's what it was. Whereas now, you know, it's not. What does that mean for posterity? What does that mean for saving this for future generations, like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? You know how you can look back at the NES or a fucking Atari or Commodore 64 or fucking anything and see these old games and still play them, play emulations of them, etc. How is that going to work for today's games that are games as services?
Archival is out of the question for a lot. That's what actually makes me angriest about the Bungie and Destiny situation. Archival is out of the question for one, but for another, Bungie, shit, I lost my point. I wonder if I can trim. I hope I could trim in the middle of these things, but archival is out of the question. Once upon a time, you know, you had your finished game and you could put it on the shelf and maybe it'd get re-released and all that stuff. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The games as live thing, one of the biggest selling points they use, especially when they give you a free version, is the fact that this content is only good, either good as in available or good as in enjoyable when they launch. After a month, after 3 months, will it be as fun? They're gonna change something that either breaks it or makes it just unenjoyable. For example, when I first got back into Destiny 2 that year or 2 years ago, they added that huge level gap, which made it unplayable for me. Right, I could no longer play Iron Banner because they moved the level cap so high that I was uncompetitive.
Yeah,
and so free mechanics that I could have enjoyed are no longer on the table. On top of the fact that if we go back to those other DLCs that are on sale right now that are going to end soon, we're so, like, the level cap is so high for everybody now that stuff might actually be unbelievably easy and therefore not fun to play. It might just be a chore to get through it to get the content. And so not only can you not play all of Destiny 2 as a platform is no longer, sorry, as a game, is not playable in its entirety at this point and won't be probably forever now, like never again. Not only that, but if you even want to play it at its best, you have to pay full price on launch to get that
experience. Yeah, there's no coming late to the party with this.
Which is kind of like, that's kind of twisted. I'm not into that. That's not cool.
They're like, come now or don't come at all.
Yeah, and classic Destiny 1, I got it. I was 100% on board. I was like, I'll buy it on launch. I don't care, because I was having so much fun. I was new to it, and it didn't get scummy yet. It's when Destiny 2 got scummy with, like, obvious time walls and paywalls and cosmetic money thingies and season passes. That's where I was like, this is just too much. Like, you guys are trying to get every dollar out of me now. And before, like, I paid, I got my quest, my campaign, my area, and my raid. And, like, I got everything out of it. You know, I mean, it took me 6 months to get to a raid because I don't play that often. And so I'd eventually get to the raid. I'd play it with my friends. I'd have an amazing time. And now they're just using level caps and time to, like, push you out or into content when you don't want to do it.
I'm going to blame Fortnite for all this shit.
No, you know what?
It started before Fortnite. I know it started before Fortnite. But I'm just going to blame Fortnite because fuck Fortnite.
Fortnite might have been the accelerator, you know, it might be the ugly stepchild, the poster boy of it. But Destiny, I actually think Fortnite and a lot of other services were looking back at Destiny going, how can we do this? Because I know that's what Halo's doing. And, you know, Warzone is 100% looking at Fortnite and going, like, how can we make a free-to-play game that we can make money off of? And they're doing well. I guarantee Warzone now, I would not be surprised if Warzone is now the second most popular battle royale after Fortnite. And PUBG is probably way down in the God knows where.
PUBG. PUBG is like the old grandpa at this point. Like, I was there first. It's all right. Yeah, PUBG, and we still love you.
The developer was going, like, people will pay $39 for a VR game. And now he's looking at, like, we're not going free to play. All right. We got a quality game here. We got a quality game here. You don't need to buy anything. Ironically, I'm pretty sure they have plenty of pay for schemes inside that game, too.
You're never safe from these at this point. It can be in anything. Yeah.
The irony is that Sony is in a lot of ways still very much invested in the movie experience, or the rather the complete game experience, right?
Oh yeah, especially because they're
Last of Us.
I think because they're focused on single player in that sense, like story driven single player games, because I find that this games as a service is really only plaguing multiplayer. Because single player games, you can't do games as a service. I mean, I can't think of a single example of a single player game that's a game Destiny. As a service. That's not a single player game. You Destiny. Do raids with fire teams.
No, that's true. Those particular instances.
And PvP is like
Halo
the biggest
will be a single player
piece,
game.
Right?
Yeah. You got a point, though. It's definitely the online connected stuff, the stuff that has a large online component that is suffering the most. Because, yeah, the ones that are pure single player where the online component is leaderboards, maybe. They're not going to suffer, because Tsushima might have some scoring, a leaderboard somewhere. Who knows? I don't know for a fact. But generally speaking, like, unless it's a DLC, story DLC,
yeah,
there's going to be no problem. You're going to get your full game, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm fine with stuff that's just like substantial story DLC, new chapters, new missions, whatever. I'm down with that kind of stuff.
But other weird stuff leaks into the single-player games. Like you told me about this one, Assassin's Creed. Or sorry, I saw this one. I'm sure you noticed it in Assassin's Creed, the more recent ones. They give you the opportunity to pay for it, leveling packs, so you can level faster.
Oh yeah, which means that's right.
They're slowing down the level rate to make it more challenging, or rather more time consuming, so that you have an impetus to pay money to speed that up. Right? They're making their games less convenient. Right?
Yeah,
it's
the grind. It's the pay to not have to grind situation. And you're right. Those are single-player games that are completely kind of, insulated experiences.
Shadow of Mordor also had, Shadow of Mordor, I think, had pay-for loot boxes. Hey, Ivan. Shadow of Mordor had pay-for loot boxes that were all cosmetic, right? They didn't technically, pay to win. I think they might have even paid to win, but it was single-player, so they're like, it doesn't make a difference. So the first year of Shadow of Mordor had a lot of weird online style components in there, and it's just because everyone's trying to find ways to monetize the experience so that like people don't get pissed off, but at the same time they make extra money. And it's very hard to once upon a time I would have said Destiny did toe that line with Destiny 1, but yeah, at this point it's impossible.
Yeah, I think it's a gone case. I feel like at this point nothing's safe. I mean, look at even Smash Bros. you didn't buy Min Min yet, did you?
No, I did not.
Exactly. So if I came to your house and I want to play as my girl Min Min, I'm out of luck.
That would, you're right. Well, honestly, if you ever left your house again, I'd buy Min Min in honor. First of all,
no, but I mean, just like as a thought experiment, right? Like, if someone doesn't buy the DLC characters, then now you're cutting some of the roster out.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would argue, I don't know. Actually, dude, are DLC characters better or worse than what we're talking about? Are they the same thing? I'll deal with the next person.
I mean, they're similar. They're similar in a sense.
It's like it's new gameplay, it's new functionality, it's new mechanics. It's not pay to win. It's not necessary. It's not cosmetic only, right? And it obviously took some like considerable development time to put together. It's more than just a reason.
I guess for a fighting game, the new characters are more akin to new story missions,
new levels,
or whatever in Ghost of
Tsushima. Yeah, that's how I see it. And so I would say the price isn't even unreasonable. It's just that the reason I didn't buy is because who knows what character 2 is or character 3 is, and if character 2 isn't very impressive, I'm not going to spend $38, right? Like, if I got another God knows what Fire Emblem character, I'm probably going to be like, you know what? I probably don't need it. Like, I'm waiting to be impressed before I buy that.
I'm really hoping that the next 4 characters are all Fire Emblem characters. That'd be great. That'd be lovely. Let's just make a Fire Emblem fighting game.
Yeah, fuck it. Just end it now, Sakurai. I wouldn't be surprised if they either cancel it or they completely rejig who they were expecting or planning. Just because of the debacle that hit the Smash scene recently.
They'd be insane if they actually had another Fire Emblem character in addition to who they already added, like Byleth. If they had another one, it's a meme. It's already a meme at this point.
It makes you wonder, because every time you see an interview with Sakurai, he always seems innocent, even if he makes a few jokes here and there. It's always like, don't worry, I'm not doing this to piss you off. You can always see that behind his eyes, but like, you never know, because we did get Byleth.
But how much of this is under his control? Like, how much of this is big corp Nintendo saying, Fire Emblem Three Houses is our newest game. We want to promote it. You have to use the main character from that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much of that is involved.
Yeah, well, Min Min was apparently the suggestion of the ARMS creator. And I guess Sakurai was just like, why think? Why?
Yeah, if the arms creator likes Min Min, we'll put Min Min on. It's funny that they didn't put Min Min on the box of arms. Like, Min Min is not in the menu graphics of arms. He's not in the box. He's not on fucking anything. Mm-hmm.
Mechanically, Min Min's really, really cool as a character, too, because if you looked at the other characters in that game, they're all pretty imaginative, and they don't all play the same. So Min Min was probably, like, a really good choice, ultimately. But
I'm just sad they didn't put in my girl Twin Tell, because she was just thick. She was so thick. But I never played ARMS, because that game was pretty shit. It was basically just Wii boxing and fucking anime.
But you know what? This is going pretty well for the first episode of the
We fucking recorded 38 minutes. This is great.
30 minutes.
I don't know how we sound. I probably sound like a fucking idiot.
No, you on my earphones, you sound great. I know mine sounds like crap, the mic that I'm using, but
not even voice quality. I mean, the things that I'm saying, I don't even know if I don't know if I'm coherent.
No, you're doing an excellent job, my friend. You the fans in the audience are screaming right now. They're crying their eyes out. You're doing an excellent
beauty.
Job. Yeah, 39 minutes. You said you had till 2. Are you going to take... Wow. You know what's crazy? I tried to record
the
intro or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to record the intro. It took me like a minute or 2 minutes. And I was like, that was a lot of talking for 2 minutes. I don't know if I can do an hour. And we just did 40 minutes. It felt like nothing.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my email here to see.
Yeah, you do your work.
Chilling. I mean, the guy that I was supposed to meet with at 2 told me that his meeting was running over, which is why we were chill. So yeah, I'm chilling. I'm chilling until he messages me.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I'm just gonna run it back to Halo then. Yeah, the sandbox. Bungie themselves reconsidered their own sandbox with Halo 2, and that's when the Magnum was weakened to represent a completely different role, and that's when the Battle Rifle was introduced to take over for the Magnum, but at a longer range. At short range, it doesn't work anymore. Compared to a Magnum, that is, because it's a long rifle, right?
Yeah.
So Bungie themselves has been making changes to the sandbox and keeping the games up to date as best they could way back in the day in 2001, 2004, when the games first came out, 2006 or 7 when Halo 3 came out. They kept making changes like this all the time. And so when 343 does it, there's always the argument of, you know, are people overreacting because they're not Bungie, or are people overreacting because they have a point and 343 is going down the wrong path? I would argue when Halo 4 came out, 100% they were going down the wrong path. Halo 5, 100% not. They were on the right, they're going down the right direction. They had to make some changes to keep the pace of the game high, as well as keep it interesting for people who haven't been playing Halo or are addicted to it. But at the very same time, I think they did an excellent job of keeping what made Halo interesting in Halo 5 and expanding on that. And so I'm actually very optimistic for Infinite, even though there's a whole bunch of weird, what's it called?
Still optimistic, even after Craig? Even after Craig?
Poor Craig.
I think Phil Spencer tweeted out that Craig is now the mascot of Xbox.
Yeah, which is like, actually, I saw somebody comment on that. I don't know if it was on Twitter or where else, but they were like, this is probably the best thing they could do, because if they embrace it, the meme becomes a kind of a flaccid Reddit meme, and then it doesn't sting anymore. It becomes, you know, something the community embraces, as opposed to something that they used to
go. Yeah, I think they're handling it really well, to be honest. I feel like that was their decision. I was watching a video earlier as well as to like why the game looks the way it does. And it's not that they can't do something that's like fucking, you know, Red Dead 2 or whatever. It's because they wanted to capture that nostalgia, that art style of the OG Halos. I think that's kind of what they were trying to bank on. You know, the red versus blue days, the machinima days. Like, I feel like that's kind of what they were trying to do.
They wanted it to look shiny and plastic and like simple as far as design's concerned, because they wanted it to look like Halo 3. I you could tell that right from the get-go that the game, I thought it looked great. Like, that's the irony that I was like, it's like, this looks fucking good. It's this like new Halo game. I don't give a fuck. And everyone's like, it doesn't look like God knows what, Ghost of Tsushima. Where's the moving grass or whatever you're looking for? I'm like, that's not what they were after. Obviously, they wanted it to look like Halo 3. As far as lighting, who knows, like, that might get better. But Craig's face not looking detailed, you know, what that looked like to me is like every other boot I've ever seen.
And hey, they got it running at 120 frames per second. So fuck the resolution and textures. It's running super smooth.
Exactly. And that, you know, that's a benchmark that Bungie never hit. They've always been 30 FPS because they've always had hardware that they had to push beyond the limit, including on Destiny. Whereas Halo 5, that's the first time the Bungie or 343 sat down and said, we're hitting 60 no matter what, because this is a multiplayer action-packed gaming experience, and you need that kind of fidelity to keep it smooth and responsive.
It's funny because Nintendo's games don't even look close to Halo Infinite, you know what I mean? Fidelity-wise. But people never complain because we've come to expect it out of Nintendo. And I think because Xbox has always been such a powerhouse of a console, we've never really seen, I don't know, something that doesn't look
the
as...
The people who are going to get...
Or PS4.
The people who are getting mad about it are people who were never going to buy or were interested in it in the first place, because they were sitting there going like, what about that promise you made, Microsoft? You know, we play on PlayStation where everything looks like this. So what's that, what about that promise about being the most powerful thing? And then they see Halo and they're like, well, that doesn't look like the most powerful thing. So like we got, you know...
Yeah, but they never claimed that Halo Infinite was a showcase of their most powerful visual tech, right?
Exactly.
And again, it's just at the beginning.
No, I bet if you look
we're just at the beginning. Like, we're just at the beginning of the life cycle, right? Like, as this game continues and as more games get developed for, you know, the Series X and the fucking PS5 and all that shit, we'll see more and more beautiful things coming out of different studios, I think. I feel like we're just in the early stage. It doesn't look like anything worse than what you could play on Xbox One or on a PS4, right?
No,
I mean, it is an Xbox One game as well. You said it yourself at the beginning, right? Like, it's playable on it.
Yeah, this game comes out on every Xbox platform since the original release of the One. It's playable. So, yeah, they obviously had a lot to consider when making this game as far as how powerful it could be or how great it could look. But one question, because I was more impressed... I shouldn't say impressed. I was more intrigued by the games that I saw in the Xbox conference than the PlayStation one, but most of them were Blur-style 3D CG cinematics, not gameplay. And so it does beg the question, where are the games, Microsoft? Because they can show as much CGs as they want, but if this thing is coming out in November, where's the real shit?
I wonder. We also still don't have price points for anything yet. We're still waiting for price points for both systems. Mm-hmm. And they're both supposed to be launching before December, right?
Yep. As a matter of fact, PS5 said in their earnings call that they are on track for the November launch.
Which is like 2 months away.
Yeah. Sony is like, they're either playing like a crazy game of poker with Microsoft to make them slip up, or they're actually, like, they're not bluffing, and Microsoft might be the one bluffing, and they might have to bite the bullet and cancel or delay. It's funny, though. They showed the Series X well before they showed the... before Sony showed anything. So that you'd think they kind of made the impression that they were ahead of the game, but now it seems like they might be the ones behind.
Sorry, one sec. Just responding to this guy. Mm-hmm. I love when meetings get canceled and they end up just being messages on Slack. This is great.
And like, so why do we have
a video game podcast with my bud while also getting paid to do it? Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, listen.
2020. Side hustles.
Fantasy Star Online. Did they show that for Xbox?
Yes, they did. And that one did have gameplay. And it's like a really nice looking Fantasy Star game. It's not a repurpose of the original PSO2 engine. It's a proper new game with a new engine. It looks nice. Which frankly got me excited. I was like, you know what? Like, how many games am I gonna play? If I wanna play Halo and I love Fantasy Star, then I need an Xbox.
Yeah, shit. And then you can always buy or like, if any of the multiplats come out on Game Pass, then you're good with that as well.
Exactly. Like, I'm sure there will be a good reason for me to get a Sony console down the line, but like, and you know what, I'm gonna try and put off the Xbox purchase for as long as I can, but I think I might end up getting that first anyways. Here's the gameplay right now. It looks cool. The game looks fantastic. People are complaining about lighting. It's like, it looks like Halo 3. How many people are being fucking whiners about it? But
I feel like recently, it's so easy to just complain about everything. Mm-hmm. And also just the echo chamber.
I even like the new gun designs. People are going to talk so much trash in their echo chambers, like you say, about all this little thing, and it's all this weird fanaticism. And I see this new rifle that they show. I'm like, this thing looks fucking cool. Like, I want to play with this thing. Like, I want to try this shit out. Even the grapple hook. I'm like, that's, you know what that is? That sounds like really dynamic physics and in a really dynamic game environment, which is one of the hallmarks of Halo. So what are we complaining about again?
Right.
Poor Craig. Poor Craig in his sad face. I wonder how he got that. I guess maybe he looks like a Craig. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder whether the name.
I wonder why they should have left.
Well,
out
he's a
the
brute.
Should have been Craig. Yep.
But
he's a brute named.
There
Craig.
Is no official Craig name, I guess. I'm looking at all the memes of Craig right now on Twitter, and there's just a plethora. It's fucking endless memes. This guy fucking Photoshop Shrek's ears onto Craig, the brute. What are you doing on my ring?
Off my swamp. I can't do a Shrek voice. How do you, I can't
do a Shrek voice either. Shrek. It's the Mike Myers fucking Scottish accent.
True. Is that he's like, I'm just gonna do Scottish. That's what a good
That's what an ogre is, yeah.
So recently before going to bed I've been playing Mega Man again.
I noticed. And I noticed also Mega with Man's... with the designs that you were doing. A lot of Mega Man inspirations.
Right. You know, it's funny, like this wasn't even something that's been like long brewing in my mind or anything like that for the Mega Man art. It's just one day I was walking around just thinking about what did I wanna do something on. I was like, fuck, I love how Mega Man looks. Like, I love how the ZX games look.
Yeah, they have a great art style.
I'm just going to pull it up, and I wanted to do a trace because, like, those are obviously really trendy, but, you know, when you see those anime characters in their fucking streetwear gear?
I know. You see it all the time on Instagram, edits of, yeah. like, of anime girls, you know, fucking hypebeast clothing.
And their Adidas and their Nikes and Balenciagas. Yeah. I was like, I kind of want to see if I can do that with a Mega Man character. And, like, not only does it look Gundam-ish, right? Like, it has a very similar aesthetic to Gundam. It's a quintessential mid and early 2000s, which is, like, you know, half of my art and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm just going to put this on a fucking shirt. Screw it.
I
don't know what the finished one will look like. I hope so. Hopefully a lot of people do.
Hey, you hear that, listeners? Merch coming soon.
Listeners, pay attention. That's your thing. It's right here. Yeah. Coming. Down the road.
Bro, but we have an hour. Like, we have almost an hour so far. 50 minutes. Like,
that easy.
This is dope. And I wonder how much of this is usable, like, when you look back at it.
I don't know. That comes down to, you know, what are you willing to publish? If anything, I would argue that we might have jumped between topics too quickly, but I think we did a pretty good job.
Like, I wonder if we need more of an outline or something to be able to stay on topic.
I think we just have to keep in mind how much, you know, how much you can say in an hour. And then... focus on one topic for longer. Just be like, you know, we could talk about this 1,000 times or 1,000 different things, or we can talk about one thing for a little bit longer. Like, because we went through, like, God knows what. I guess two major topics or three major topics, which were all pretty intertwined for the most part. But I feel like it's kind of erratic in the sense that, like, there was movies and then video games, and in between there was religion. Like,
we kind of started off with that. You know what? I liked how we started and then kind of looped into it. It felt kind of natural. I guess because it was just a conversation, which is what a podcast is. So.
Which is why I wanted to try this Anchor thing, because I knew that if I started nerding out about Halo, like, you're going to nerd about something. So it was going to be easy.
Right.
And it started even better because you started with Avatar. I was like, that's interesting, because I was thinking about Avatar and James Cameron and the art direction.
Yeah.
Perfect. And how that affected Halo made by Bungie and Bungie made
this. This is it. This is the Metacast right now.
It's meta as fuck, I'll tell you what.
All right, bro. I got to jump off and do some other work. So I will talk to you later.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me on the cast. I'll talk to you soon. I don't know. It doesn't always have to be this long, but hopefully you can come on for another episode sometime soon. And I appreciate the time.
Blessed, sir.
Talk to you soon, dude.
See ya.